Hey everyone, welcome back to the AI Hardware Show. I'm your host, Skylar Monroe, and this is the podcast where we dig deep into the silicon, the systems, and the stories shaping the future of AI hardware. Big thanks to our sponsors today, Limitless AI, helping businesses actually integrate AI into their workflows in meaningful ways, and Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development expertise. All right, we've got a packed show today. Amazon is coming for NVIDIA's lunch. We're getting into the weirdly fascinating world of rack-scale GPU scheduling. Liquid cooling is becoming non-negotiable, and we've got some eye-opening stats about how much Blackwell silicon is still sitting on the sidelines. Let's get into it. Okay, story one, and this one is a headline that definitely turns some heads. Forget AMD. Amazon declares war on NVIDIA by selling its own AI chips. Now, I want to be careful with the word war here, because that's very much media language, but the underlying story is genuinely significant and worth unpacking. So what's actually happening? Amazon, through AWS, has been developing its own custom AI chips under the Trainium and Inferentia brand names for a few years now. And what's new is that they're not just using these chips internally anymore, they're now making them commercially available to external customers through AWS. That is a meaningful strategic shift, and it puts Amazon in a very different competitive position than it's been in before. Think about it this way. Amazon has always been one of NVIDIA's biggest customers. AWS buys enormous quantities of H100s, A100s, and now Blackwell GPUs to power its cloud infrastructure. But every dollar Amazon spends on NVIDIA hardware is a dollar that could theoretically stay inside Amazon's ecosystem. So building your own chips isn't just a technical flex, it's a margin play. If you can train and run inference on your own silicon, you reduce your dependency on a single supplier and you capture more of the value chain yourself. Now, where does AMD fit into this? The headline says, forget AMD. And I think the point being made is that the real competitive threat to NVIDIA in the cloud isn't necessarily AMD's MI300X or whatever comes next from their roadmap. It might actually be the hyperscalers themselves. Google has its TPUs. Microsoft is building Maya chips. Meta is developing MTAA. And now Amazon is doubling down on Trainium. These companies have the scale, the engineering talent, and crucially, the captive workloads to make custom silicon actually pencil out economically. Here's the analogy I keep coming back to. It's like a massive restaurant chain that used to buy all its ingredients from one premium supplier and then slowly starts growing its own produce on the side. At first, it's a small garden. Then the garden gets bigger. Then they start selling produce to other restaurants. That's kind of what Amazon is doing with its chip program. And for NVIDIA, while they're still the dominant player by a wide margin, this trend of hyperscaler custom silicon is something they absolutely have to take seriously over the next 3 to 5 years. This is a slow burn, not an overnight disruption, but the direction of travel is clear. All right, story two, and this one is more technical, but honestly really interesting if you care about how these massive AI clusters actually work. The headline is Achieving Peak System and Workload Efficiency on NVIDIA GB200 NVL72 with Slurm Block Scheduling. Okay, let me break that down because there's a lot of alphabet soup in there. GB200 is NVIDIA's latest Grace Blackwell chip. It combines ARM-based CPU cores with Blackwell GPU cores in a single package. NVL72 refers to a specific rack configuration, 72 of those GPUs connected together using NVLink, NVIDIA's high-speed interconnect technology. And Slurm is a workload manager. It's the software that decides which jobs run on which hardware and when. So why does this matter? The GB200 NVL72 is not like a traditional GPU server rack where you have a bunch of independent nodes that happen to be near each other. This thing is fundamentally different. NVLink coherence is extended across the entire rack. What that means in plain English is that all 72 GPUs in that rack can essentially share memory and communicate with each other at extremely high bandwidth, as if they were one giant processor. That's a massive departure from how GPU clusters have worked historically, where inter-node communication was often the bottleneck. Here's a good analogy. Imagine a traditional GPU cluster like a city where different neighborhoods need to communicate by sending mail trucks back and forth. It works, but there's latency and overhead. The NVL72 rack is more like one giant open-plan office where everyone can just talk to each other directly. The coordination is fundamentally different, and that changes how you need to schedule work. And that's where Slurm Block Scheduling comes in, because this rack is so tightly integrated, you can't just carve it up arbitrarily the way you would with traditional nodes. You need to schedule jobs in blocks that respect the physical topology of the hardware, otherwise you end up with inefficient communication patterns, and you leave a lot of performance on the table. NVIDIA's guidance here is essentially saying your scheduling software needs to be aware of the hardware architecture, not just treat all GPUs as interchangeable compute units. For anyone running large-scale AI training jobs, this is really practical and important information. the hardware is only as good as your ability to efficiently schedule work on it. And as these rack scale systems become more common, and they will, this kind of systems level thinking is going to be critical. It's not just about buying the best chips anymore. It's about building the full stack to actually extract value from them. Story 3, why NVIDIA Blackwell GPUs need liquid-cooled data centers. This one might sound like a niche infrastructure story, but I think it's actually one of the more consequential hardware trends happening right now, and it has huge implications for anyone building or operating a data center. So let's talk about why Blackwell specifically is pushing the industry toward liquid cooling in a serious way. The Blackwell architecture, and especially the GB200 in the NVL72 rack configuration we just talked about, is extremely power dense. We're talking about rack-level power consumption that can hit 120 kilowatts or more. To put that in perspective, a traditional server rack from just 5 years ago might draw somewhere in the range of 10 to 20 kilowatts. So we're talking about a 6x to 10x increase in power density over a relatively short period of time. That is not a linear progression, that is a step change, and it fundamentally breaks the assumptions that most data centers were designed around. Traditional air cooling works by blowing cold air over hot components and exhausting hot air out of the rack. It's simple, it's well understood, and it's been the standard for decades. But air has a limit to how much heat it can carry away per unit volume. When you're trying to remove 120 kilowatts from a single rack, air just can't cut it anymore. You physically can't move enough air through a standard rack to keep those chips at a safe operating temperature. It's like trying to cool a blast furnace with a desk fan. Liquid cooling, whether that's direct liquid cooling to the chip, rear door heat exchangers, or full immersion cooling, is much more thermally efficient. Water can carry away something like 3,500 times more heat per unit volume than air. So when you're dealing with these extreme power densities, liquid cooling isn't a luxury or a nice to have, it becomes an absolute requirement. And NVIDIA has essentially built this assumption into the Blackwell design. The GB200 NVL72 rack is designed with liquid cooling in mind from the ground up. The implications here are significant. Existing data centers, even relatively modern ones, may need substantial upgrades or partial rebuilds to support this generation of hardware. We're talking about installing liquid cooling infrastructure, potentially upgrading power delivery systems, and rethinking airflow management entirely. That's expensive and time-consuming, and it creates a real bottleneck in the deployment pipeline. It's one of the reasons why, as we'll get to in our next story, so much Blackwell hardware is still sitting undeployed. The data centers need to catch up with the chips. This also opens up a really interesting market dynamic for companies that specialize in data center cooling infrastructure, power delivery, and related build-out. The AI hardware boom isn't just about GPUs. There's an enormous support ecosystem that needs to scale alongside it. If you're an investor looking at this space, the picks and shovels play is very much alive and well in the thermal management and data center infrastructure segments. All right, story 4, AI chip stocks investment 2026, NVIDIA versus AMD analysis and market outlook. Now, I want to be clear, I'm not a financial advisor. This is not investment advice. Do your own research, all of that. But from a hardware and technology perspective, there's some genuinely interesting stuff to unpack in terms of where these two companies actually stand heading into 2026. NVIDIA's position right now is almost unprecedented in the semiconductor industry. They have dominant market share in AI accelerators, depending on how you count it, somewhere in the range of 70 to 90% of the data center GPU market. They have a deeply entrenched software ecosystem through CUDA, which has been in development for nearly two decades, and they're now shipping Blackwell at scale, which is a generational leap in performance over the previous Hopper architecture. The moat is real and it's wide, but AMD is not standing still either. The MI300X has gotten some genuine traction, particularly for inference workloads, and AMD has been making serious investments in their RCM software stack, which is their answer to CUDA. The software gap is still real, but it's narrowing. And AMD has some structural advantages. They're fabbed at TSMC, same as NVIDIA, and they've got strong CPU integration with their EPYC server processors. For certain workloads and certain customers, the MI300X is a credible alternative. Here's the thing about competitive dynamics in this market that I think is often underappreciated. The demand for AI compute right now is so enormous that the market can support multiple winners. It's not necessarily a zero-sum game, where every MI300X sale comes directly at the expense of an H100. The pie is growing fast enough that both companies can be doing extremely well, even if NVIDIA maintains its dominant share. The real question for the medium term is whether the software ecosystem gap closes enough to make AMD a more compelling default choice for developers, and that's still a work in progress. Looking toward 2026, the competitive dynamics get even more interesting because we'll have AMD's next-generation architecture in the mix. We'll have Intel trying to reassert itself in this space with Gaudi and whatever comes next. And we'll have the hyperscaler custom chips we talked about in story one, getting more mature and more capable. NVIDIA's challenge is to maintain its software moat while continuing to innovate at the hardware level. If they can keep doing both, and they've demonstrated they can, the bull case for their market position is strong. But this is a fast-moving space, and complacency is always dangerous. And the fifth and final story, 95% of NVIDIA's Grace Blackwell GPUs yet to be deployed. This one is fascinating and I think somewhat counterintuitive if you've been following all the headlines about Blackwell shortages and massive demand. So what's going on here? According to the reporting, despite all the orders placed, all the revenue NVIDIA has booked, and all the hardware that has shipped, the vast majority of Blackwell GPUs that are out there are not yet actually doing productive work in data centers. We're talking about 95% still undeployed. That is a staggering number, and it tells a really interesting story about the current state of the AI hardware build-out. So why are all these chips sitting idle? There are a few things going on. First, and this connects directly to our cooling story, many data centers are simply not yet ready to host Blackwell hardware. As I mentioned, these systems require liquid cooling infrastructure, significant power upgrades, and specialized installation. You can't just plug a GB200 NVL72 rack into a facility that was designed for air-cooled servers from 2019. The physical infrastructure needs to catch up. Second, there's a software and systems integration challenge. Standing up a rack of 72 tightly integrated GPUs and actually getting it to run your workloads efficiently is not trivial. It requires tuning your orchestration software, like the Slurm scheduling we talked about, configuring your networking stack, optimizing your model code for the new architecture. That takes time and engineering resources, and there's a shortage of people who know how to do this well. Third, and this is maybe the most interesting angle, some of this hardware was ordered speculatively. Companies placed orders 12 to 18 months ago based on projected needs, and now that the hardware has arrived, the actual use case or deployment plan may still be in progress. It's like ordering a massive industrial kitchen before you've finalized your restaurant concept. The equipment is there, but you're still figuring out the menu. Now, the optimistic read on this number, and I think it's a legitimate one, is that it represents a massive amount of compute that's about to come online. If 95% of Blackwell is still undeployed, that means there's an enormous wave of inference and training capacity that will hit the market over the next 12 to 24 months. That could have interesting implications for the cost of AI compute, for what kinds of applications become economically viable, and for how the competitive landscape shifts. Abundant compute changes what's possible. It's been true at every previous inflection point in this industry, and I don't see why Blackwell would be different. It also underscores something I say pretty regularly on this show. The story of AI hardware isn't just about what gets designed and manufactured. It's about what actually gets deployed and used. The gap between those two things is where a lot of the real complexity lies, and right now, that gap is very large. Watching it close over the next couple of years is going to be one of the most interesting dynamics in the entire tech industry. All right, that's a wrap on today's episode of the AI Hardware Show. We covered a lot of ground: Amazon's chip ambitions, rack-scale GPU scheduling, the thermal revolution in data centers, the NVIDIA versus AMD investment picture, and that wild statistic about how much Blackwell silicon is still waiting to be put to work. Really appreciate you tuning in. The AI Hardware Show is brought to you by Limitless AI, helping organizations integrate AI into their workflows, and Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your partners in silicon development. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe and share it with someone who geeks out on this stuff as much as we do. And as always, all the sources and extra details are in the link in show notes. I'll catch you next time.